Welcome to the midweek meeting at Trinity Baptist Church, Maryport. When the government lockdown came in, I put on a series from Malachi, which is done before. But this evening, and for the next few weeks on our Tuesday evenings, I wanted to return to what we were looking at prior to the lockdown. On Tuesday evenings, we were looking at the use of the word learn in the Word of God. To learn means to get knowledge by study or experience. And so far we've looked at five different occasions in which the word learn is used in the Word of God. And this evening we're going to look at the sixth one. But before we do, I want to read from God's Word, and we'll be reading from Matthew chapter 11, then a few verses in Galatians 5, and some in Ephesians 4. But beginning in Matthew and chapter 11, and we'll begin to read from verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which are done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And then reading from Galatians 5, and the theme in these three passages obviously is meekness, that's the connection. Galatians 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye are led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And then thirdly and lastly, reading from Ephesians 4 and verses 1 to 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you as ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, may God bless to our hearts those readings from his word. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you once again for the opportunity now to briefly look into your word. And we pray that by your Spirit you would speak to our hearts through it and help us each one to be doers of all that you say to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So on Tuesday we've been looking at the use of the word learn in the Word of God, and the sixth occasion is found in a very well-known verse that we read, Matthew 11 verse 29, where Jesus says, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Now of course we are to learn from Jesus' teaching. We're to learn from Christ's word, what we are to believe and how we are to live. But what Jesus has in mind here and is talking about is learning from his example, from the way he was, from the way he lived. And that comes over regarding many forms of behaviour in the Word of God. So just as Jesus denied himself and took up the cross, so we, if we're believers in Christ, are to follow his example, to deny ourselves and take up his cross and follow him. Just as Jesus showed loving service for his disciples, washing their feet, we're to follow his example. He says, "I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." Indeed, Paul speaks of the meekness and gentleness of Christ in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 1. He says, "I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." When it comes to humility, Jesus is a supreme example. We're told in Philippians 2, he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. And being made in the likeness of men, he humbled himself even further. And we're told he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And to let this mind be in you as it was in Christ Jesus. When it comes to forgiveness, Christ is the great example to follow. We're told in Colossians 3 and verse 13, "If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." We're told in Hebrews that when as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ we suffer at the hands of this unbelieving world, we need to consider him, his example, who endured the cross and despised the shame. In 1 Peter 2 we're told when we suffer wrong, we need to look at the example of Christ. It says, "When you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not." And of course here in Matthew 11, we see that he was an example which we are to learn from. He was meek and lowly in heart. And as believers in Christ, followers of Christ, we have got to learn from him to be meek and lowly in heart. And when we are, not only will we please our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, but we will be blessed as a result. For Christ himself tells us in Matthew 5, "Blessed are the meek." But what is meekness? People generally have little idea, little concept of what true meekness is. And you see this because people associate meekness with weakness, with being soft, with complying with everything and refusing to stand up for anything, even almost being a coward. All of which shows us that people don't understand what meekness is. What a remarkable, unnatural, wonderful quality it is. It was displayed perfectly in the Lord Jesus Christ. Meekness is not the natural disposition of our sinful hearts, but the complete opposite. And far from it being a sign of weakness, it's the complete opposite. It's a sign of great power and great courage. It actually needs a great deal of courage to be meek and lowly in heart in an ungodly, evil world as this one is. Now in the New King James Version, it's "Learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly." But that doesn't really do justice to the original. It really means, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly," because gentleness is really just one of the qualities of the truly meek person. And it's clearly a very important quality Jesus requires in us, because he wants us to learn of him and do this very thing, be meek and lowly. Jesus doesn't tell us to learn of me how to do great miracles, but learn of me and be meek and lowly in heart. It's the only time where it speaks of what's in Jesus' heart. What is meekness then? Well, it has to do with having a rule over your own spirits, a mastery over your own passions, and was perfectly exemplified in the Lord Jesus. He was gentle. He was humble. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. It's the very opposite, really, of being self-centered. If Jesus had not been meek but self-centered, then he would never ever have given himself to the cross to save us. It's the opposite of being proud. If Jesus had been proud, he never ever would have humbled himself and become man, and humbled himself further and been obedient to death, even the death of the cross. It's the very opposite of the behavior exemplified and seen in the Pharisees. When they did things, they wanted everybody to know what they were doing. They wanted everybody to see them. But this wasn't the way of Christ, who is meek and lowly in heart. But don't misunderstand this. Meekness isn't some false modesty, some self-depreciation. As when perhaps somebody preaches a great sermon and they say, "It was nothing, I hardly had time to prepare." Or someone sings a great solo and says, "Oh, it's nothing, I'm just getting over a cold." Yes, we aren't to be proud. Yes, we shouldn't want everybody to know what we've done. Yes, we shouldn't want to be constantly praised by others. But equally, we should recognize if God has given us any God-given abilities. So a false modesty isn't meekness. Really, the correct attitude of a meek person, when people want to maybe praise for being a great preacher or speaker or singer or athlete, runner of any sort, would be to recognize ultimately the ability to preach, the ability to sing, the ability to run, whatever it may be, is God-given. What have we that we have not received? And the meek person, therefore, doesn't want to simply be praised by men, doesn't want everybody to see what they're doing. And when they do things because of gifts that they have, they recognize that they're God-given. So you see, it requires great strength to be meek, which we in ourselves don't have. It's the easiest thing in the world to yield to your passions and become angry. It's easy to be bitter and seek revenge. It's easy to be proud. These things are second nature to our sinful, corrupt hearts. But to be meek requires the help of Almighty God. So how are we to be meek? How can we be meek and lowly in heart? Well, we need to remember, if we're believers in Christ, we have been saved by God's grace, by God's undeserved favour to us. As those who broke God's laws, disobeyed God's commandments, and deserved God's righteous punishment, deserved nothing from God, God has undeservedly saved us. And the recognition we have been saved by the grace of God, the undeserved favour of God, will be something, the more we recognise it, will help us to be meek. And we need to look at the example of Christ and the way he lived and behaved. For there you have an example in human flesh, what it is to be perfectly meek and lowly in heart. And you need to look at the rest of the teaching of God's word, which brings home to us the need to be meek, and reveals to us the perfect example of Christ. We need to realize that meekness is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us on faith in Christ Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit who can help us and strengthen us, enable us to be meek, which is so contrary to our proud, sinful nature. And this being so, how important it is that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit by our sinful behaviour. Because without the help and enabling of the Holy Spirit, we're never going to be meek and lowly in heart like our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're required of God to be meek in our approach to God and to people. In our dealings with God, we can't often understand why he's brought this or that trial into our lives. But when we're truly meek, we'll have the character that really says, God can do with me whatever he wants. So like Eli, who even when he got the devastating news his sons would die, said, it is the Lord, let him do as seemeth to him good. And of course, being meek means a proper response to God's word. We're told we're to receive with meekness the engrafted word. So with a spirit of meekness, we need to receive and submit to the word of God. When we resist God's word, when we do not do what God's word says, we're hardly behaving towards God in a meek way. We're hardly receiving his word with a meek spirit. But we also have to show meekness in our dealings with other people. It requires great strength to, in a meek spirit, forgive someone who injures you. Meekness doesn't mean that we may not have to resort to the courts or to church discipline when we're wrong or when we're injured. But it does mean, in the spirit of meekness, we are to forgive and not to seek to take personal revenge. And if, as believers, we see a fellow believer going astray and they need to be admonished, they need to be reproved, they need to be corrected for some outward wrongdoing, then we're told in Galatians 6 we must seek to restore them in a spirit of meekness. We're not to do this in a harsh way, in a rough way, in a way that we act as if we're sort of so holy and we have a holier than thou attitude, as if we have no faults, failings ourselves. No, we're rather to do it in a spirit of meekness, recognising our own shortcomings, our own failings, as we seek to help our fellow believer in Christ. And indeed, the reason why ultimately everyone should take Christ's yoke upon them, should come to him and trust in him to save them a sinner, is because Christ is meek and lowly in heart. He is not a harsh saviour, a cruel saviour, an overbearing saviour, an oppressive Lord and saviour. No, he is a saviour who is meek and lowly in heart. A saviour who is loving, a saviour who is gentle, a saviour who is kind in all his dealings with those who come to him and take his yoke upon them. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus we have a Lord and Saviour, who in all his dealings with his church, in all his dealings with each individual believer in Christ who makes up his church, he deals with us as a Saviour who is meek and lowly in heart. And he's a Saviour whose will for us as believers is that we learn from him. We learn from his example. And with the help, the enabling, the strengthening of the Holy Spirit, we seek more and more as the days go by to be like our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. To learn from him, to be like him, meek and lowly in heart. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he wasn't self-centered, but he was willing for our sakes to lay down his life and die for our sins on the cross. We thank you he wasn't proud, but he humbled himself and came into this world and became man. He humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, to suffer for our sins. Help us then recognize that we have been saved by your grace, your undeserved favor. Help us to learn from the example of our Saviour. Help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to be more like him, to be more and more meek and lowly in heart. We ask these things in his name. Amen.